Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
Today, our congregation begins meeting in person for worship for the first time in 6 long months. And for those attending in person, this is a huge adjustment because there are new rules that govern our community's life together. If we wanted to make a Ten Commandments of these new rules, we probably could. Rule number one, you shall wear face mask inside the building. 2, you shall practice social distancing. You shall clean your hands with sanitizer. You shall not touch all the communion cups. Just pick one. If you touch it, you take it. You shall not sing. You shall not hug. You shall not shake hands. You shall sit where the deacon tells you to sit, even if it's not your favorite spot. The good news is that the good news will reach you wherever you're sitting, whether it's inside or outside this building. There are a lot of new rules here at First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. These rules were formed by a committee of members from this congregation. And I don't have to tell you who was in that committee for you to know something about the committee. From the rules they came up with, I can tell that the committee cares about the health and safety of this congregation. I can tell that they hope to include as many people as possible at in-person worship. They're concerned about managing things in an orderly and thoughtful way, and so on and so forth. The rules tell us about the rule makers. We're not the only ones dealing with new rules these days. Tomorrow, thousands of students across Cobb County and the city of Marietta will return to in-person classes. My son will be starting in-person kindergarten, and we've talked about the rules he can expect. Some are classics like raise your hand or be respectful or try your best. Some rules are specific to a particular class. Like my daughter said, her first grade class had a rule. There's no flipping over your desk when you're angry. They had to make this rule after some kid kept flipping over his desk. So the rules can be standardized, but the rules can also be a little bit unique. And we've all had a teacher somewhere along the way that had some unusual rule that they enforced, unique to that teacher. When I was in 10th grade, my math teacher had a rule, no yawning in class. If you yawned, you had to run a lap around the parking lot. I'm actually not sure if you're allowed to make rules like that anymore. But she said, if you're yawning, you can't be focused and you need to wake up your brain. And you know what happened? For an entire school year, almost nobody yawned in that class. Or if they did yawn, they yawned with their mouth closed. Most everybody followed the rule, except for my friend Steve. Steve would forget the rule every couple weeks, and he would stretch his arms back, lean back his head, and yawn the biggest, most satisfying yawn you've ever heard. And by October, the teacher didn't even bother to tell Steve to go and run the lap. She just looked at him and looked at the door, and he knew what to do. Now, the rule was about yawning, but the rule wasn't really about yawning at the same time. The rule told us something about our teacher. And what it told us that was in return for her excellent teaching, she expected excellence from us. She expected our full attention, our full focus, and our full effort. The rules tell us about the rule maker. In our Old Testament lesson today, we read a list of rules, and this is a list we all recognize. And what I love about these rules is that these rules tell us something about God. Over the last month, we followed the Israelites from Egypt and into the wilderness. God has delivered them multiple times, first from the Egyptian army, then from thirst, next from hunger. And by Exodus chapter 19, the people are learning to trust God. Moses hears that God wants to speak to the people. Now, at this point, I'm pretty excited for the Israelites. They've been in the wilderness for a while, and it's not easy living in the wilderness. I know that God's in charge of this little journey, and maybe, just maybe, God is going to fill them in on the plan. Maybe give them a little diagram or a map to show them where they're headed. But God isn't really interested in geographical maps. God wants to instead lay out a different kind of map, a guide for how to live in community. And so God takes this opportunity to form a covenant with the Israelites. And that covenant begins with a series of instructions. We call them the Ten Commandments, but Scripture calls them the Ten Words. And what we know is that the Word of God is a very powerful thing. It's the Word of God that calls creation into being. It's the Word of God that's a lamp to our feet, guiding our way. The Word of God, Hebrews says, is living and active, sharper than a sword. It cuts through our defenses and sees what's in our hearts. The Word of God becomes flesh and dwells among us in the person of Jesus. The Word of God is active and alive, and it's full of goodness and blessing, and so too are these 10 words that we call the 10 commandments. These instructions do, in fact, bless the Israelites. Remember, before they escaped Egypt to serve the Lord, they served Pharaoh. Their major challenge now is to reorient themselves from serving Pharaoh to serving God. And these Ten Commandments are part, not the whole thing, but part of an instruction of how to do that. And I'll give you an example. When Pastor Joe went through that printout of the Ten Commandments, you might have noticed this huge paragraph in the middle. That paragraph is commandment number 4. You shall observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. We might overlook that commandment, but we shouldn't, and I'll tell you why. Remember, when the Israelites are in Egypt, they are serving Pharaoh, and serving Pharaoh requires making a lot of bricks. All day, every day, they make bricks. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, make bricks. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, make more bricks. Every week, it's the same thing. Every day, it's the same thing. The cycle never ends. And out here in the wilderness, we learn that serving God means that the cycle has to be broken every week. We get a preview of this when God provides manna. Back in Exodus 16, God says you collect for 6 days. On the seventh day, you don't collect, you rest. And you can imagine the confusion of a people who are used to their daily ration being connected to their productivity. On Monday, I collect manna. On Tuesday, manna. Wednesday, manna. Thursday, manna. Friday, manna. Every day, manna. The seventh day, I don't collect manna? Like, what do you mean? I don't collect manna. I'm supposed to do this every day. This is what my life has been about. Because when you spend your life with no break and no rest, taking a day off just doesn't make sense. We know it was hard for them. But this is what God requires back in Exodus 16, and it's also what is put in more codified form in the fourth commandment. On the Sabbath, the instruction is clear. Everyone, no matter how much power or how little power they have, everyone is to rest on the seventh day, and that everyone includes animals too. The whole community is to remain at rest. Why? Because God remains at rest on the seventh day. And the rule tells us and points to the rule maker. By resting, the Israelites live in imitation of their Lord. And this command gives them a concrete step towards a life that reflects the values of God. So not only does the rule reorient their activity, it reorients their hearts. They learn they are no longer what they produce. They are first and foremost beloved children of God. They are defined by who loves them, not by what they do. So the rule tells us about the rule maker, and the rules also draw us closer to the rule maker. The Ten Commandments continue to show up in Scripture. They show up in the prophets. They show up in the New Testament even. They form the backdrop of part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. So from our New Testament reading, we drop into the middle of this sermon. And just before Jesus begins to teach about the commandments, he reminds the crowd listening that his purpose is not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, or complete it, or explain it more fully. And so then he goes on to interpret several of the commandments. And he doesn't let anyone off easy. He actually sets the bar higher than it already was. He extends the commandments. It's not enough not to murder. You shouldn't even let anger into your heart. Jesus takes the commandments very seriously. And he describes them as foundational to a life of faith. Now, when I first came to FPC Marietta, I walked in the doors of our gathering space. It's our lobby. That's what we call our lobby. And to the left is this hanging of the Ten Commandments, this huge, huge framed copy of them. And I thought, okay, this is a church that likes the Ten Commandments. I mean, most churches might put John 3:16 on the wall or something inspirational from Romans, but this is what we have. Now, some pastors may say, and some have said, even well-known pastors, have said the Old Testament is old hat. But that's not quite right. That's certainly not what Jesus teaches. These commands, these rules, sometimes we think that they're an expression of God's displeasure. Sometimes we think they're an expression of God's frustration with the Israelites. But if we back up, if we actually read our Bibles and we see how these rules function, we learn that these rules are part of a covenant that God makes. And notice what happens. This vast, impossible to know, unapproachable God reaches out to this little group of people wandering in the wilderness without a map and says, I want to commit to being faithful to you. Will you commit to being faithful to me? That is the foundation underneath our Ten Commandments. It's not about the rules, it's about the relationship. The instruction is important, but we always remember that the instruction is a map. It's not the destination. The commandments are never more important than the one who commands them. And our destination, as Pastor Joe so succinctly put it, is to love God and to love others. In the middle of the summer, my life had turned into a monotony, day after day after day. Nothing changes because we're all stuck at home. And I decided that I needed a goal. I needed some kind of goal to keep me motivated. And about the same time, I realized my favorite pants were getting a little bit tight, so I made my goal a fitness goal. I had read a couple articles on how I could get started on this, and one article said, if I just measure it, I will improve it. And some of you know I used to be an engineer, so I was delighted to make a giant Excel spreadsheet and a graph, and I log numbers every week. It's very exciting. So 3 months in, you know what happened to my graph? It's completely flat. Nothing has changed because although I tracked everything, I didn't actually do anything about it. The article was a bunch of junk. My new approach is to set forward a few rules because that's what rules are. They're a support. They're there to help get you from A to Z. They're a map. And one of the ways that we learn what it means to live in faithful community with one another and with God is by taking seriously the instruction that God offers us in Scripture. It is a gift. It is a blessing. And so I am grateful to walk through the doors of this church and see the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall, in the KJV, by the way. I'm grateful for that because it reminds me that our God is a God of relationship. Our God is a God who reaches out and does something we might imagine is impossible and ask if we might be faithful to him, and he will be faithful to us. And for this, I am grateful. Thanks be to God.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.